down there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katz-Lamidas. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly, and I write for The Sunday, our new publication in Greenspun Media Group that comes out on The Sunday, except when it comes out on The Saturday, and I write for all titles in Greenspun Media Group. Joining me once more, as always, and continually is Trisha McCrone.
That is one of the funniest things. Like I've
I say that almost every week.
No, I don't think you've ever said unless it comes out. Maybe I'm just so used to
hearing
it.
Give me a nod, Steven Zeller. Do I say that every single week?
You do? And so this is the first time I've paid attention. Well, you have so many credits. I figure I have time to, like, you know, take a shower, you know, do my nails, come back, because you have so many accomplishments.
To which I say, pass the loofah.
I'm currently in our Montana bureau.
Yes.
Once again.
Once again in Montana. You know who else lives in Montana?
Who?
The actor John Lithgow. Part-time in Montana. He told me about this when I was interviewing him a while back during the Human Rights Campaign Gala, which he was awarded for the Lifetime Achievement Award or some kind of award of merit. And he mentioned that he had a home in Montana, and he'd driven through driven toward that home in Montana, which is near Missoula, on his way to and from L.A. and had gone through Las Vegas and some of the other places along the way. And that's how it all came about. So,
well, you know, I have to say that he is the reason I stopped watching Dexter.
John Lithgow is?
Yes, because he played the Trinity Killer.
Because he had the remote? Oh.
No, he played the Trinity Killer. And I don't want to ruin it for people that didn't watch Dexter, but it, like, the end of his season that he was, like, the big baddie one season. The end of his season was so creepy and so scary that I stopped watching the show.
Wow.
Yeah, like,
really?
He had such an effect on me. And now when I look at him, I'm like, I kind of am scared.
Wow.
So if I run into him, I definitely am not going to take a bathtub. I will not get in the bath in front of him. The people that watch Dexter, I shall never bathe in front of John Lithgow.
Maybe it's better to kind of broaden that whole concept and not take a bath in front of anybody who's in Dexter.
There you go. That could be, but especially him.
And maybe anybody on TV at all.
He did for bathtubs what Anthony Perkins did for showers.
Ah.
Yes. Let's just say that.
Psycho.
Yes.
Well,
but
anyway.
I shower. I was still big, just not with John Lithgow.
I talked to him about the Master Thespian skit. Do you remember that on Saturday Night Live? It was John Lovitz who played
yes,
a character.
Yes, 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 yes.
Acting! Thank you!
It's
and he
acting.
Was. He and Lithgow had a recurring role as the guy's tutor, acting tutor. And I found, when I was doing research on Lithgow, I came across an old Master Thespian skit on Saturday Night Live from, like, the mid-late 80s. And I watched it, and I was still laughing about it. I mean, it was like I watched it right before he called, and I was still laughing about it when he called. And I said, I got to ask you of all the roles he's played. I asked him about Master Thespian. He goes, oh, my God, you found a clip? You found a clip?
Oh, my gosh. So that's obviously one of his favorites,
Oh, he
too.
Loved it. He goes, you must send it to my – he liked the Masters. And, you must send it to my assistant.
And you said, yeah, that's the ticket. You went to another John Lovitz character.
Yeah, my good friend.
My good friend John Lovitz.
John Lithgow.
John Lithgow.
Yeah, and my good friend John Lovitz.
Yes.
But it's been a crazy stretch here recently. What else has been going on?
Oh, wait, but very bizarrely, I watched, there's a show on ABC. I don't even know if it's still on because I don't know how popular it was. It's called Singer Face Off. And John Lovitz is on the show, and he actually it's you every week you are given a celebrity, and you have to not only sing their song, you have to impersonate them singing the song. And he got Pavarotti.
Oh,
and I tell you, he could sing.
He's a really talented
guy. Oh my! I was like, John Lovitz, like, that's the ticket guy. Like, could sing. I was shocked.
You know what's
so
funny?
Good?
It's some of these veteran comics who have talked, I've interviewed over the course of time. This is going back many years. I've often talked to them about who makes them laugh. And this is like some big, you know, some serious comics. A lot of them mention John Lovitz in person as one of the funniest people in person they know.
Yeah. And, he came backstage at Wayne Newton's show a couple times.
Yeah,
and so
he's
he
just supposed
charming.
To be a great guy and very funny in person, but he doesn't You know, he's never done a that I know of ever, a stand-up residency here in Las Vegas. But anyway, yeah, that's all roads lead through John Lithgow.
There you
I
go.
Guess.
Yeah, and my best friend, Johnny Katz. Yeah,
it was
yeah.
Morgan Fairchild. My lover and my wife, Morgan Fairchild.
Oh my God.
He'd always end up, that was his go-to.
Yes, it was.
Fabulous.
Didn't he also
reference.
Do the same thing with Tom Hanks? What was it? He the you oh no, that
oh,
was
a different
that,
character.
That was a, no, but or was that what's his name? Phil Hartman. I can't remember.
No, they,
which one
it was Lovitz and Hanks, and they were just two dorks.
Yeah,
and they would
and
be
like,
hanging her.
Yeah.
My face is just too wide.
Yeah.
My hairline can't be helping either.
He thought you were the scum on the bottom of his shoes.
Not even a hello or a
goodbye.
Girls do not like us.
It was a great thing. He had a lot of great characters.
Yeah, him and Hanks worked together great. Hanks is one of the great characters ever on Saturday Night. Well, or hosts on Saturday Night
speaking
Live.
Speaking of duos,
speaking
we've got
of two
quite
people
the
on
duo.
Stage.
Coming on the show today.
Yes, coming up on this episode of Cats with the Dish are two of the principal performers in Mamma Mia, which has recently returned to Vegas at the Tropicana Theater at the new Tropicana Hotel Casino.
And they like to do acting.
Acting and singing and wearing of spandex and sequins. Christine Sherrill, who plays the role of Donna Sheridan, and Sean Alan Krill, who plays Sam Carmichael. They will be on the show coming up next, but first it's Josh Bell with movies, so stick around. I know we will. Las Vegas.
Yeah! This is crazy. We gotta find a club.
Forget about the clubs. What we want is a record contract.
What record contract? You can't even book a lousy bowling alley.
Maybe this is a good time for me to start my own group.
Right, you're not starting any groups. You're in this group, Nikki.
That's John Lloyd Young as Frankie Valli, along with Eric Bergen, Vincent Piazza, and Michael Lomenda as the rest of the four seasons in Jersey Boys. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. In adapting the hit Jersey Boys stage musical, which has been running in various cities, including Las Vegas, for nearly a decade, director Clint Eastwood takes the stylized, larger-than-life version of the story about the rise and fall of singer Frankie Valli and his group The Four Seasons and turns it back into something mundane. The Jersey Boys movie makes an infectious stage musical into just another showbiz biopic, but at least it's a perfectly solid showbiz biopic. I give Jersey Boys 3 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is The Rover, starring Guy Pearce and Robert Pattinson as two men who forge an uneasy alliance in the post-apocalyptic Australian outback.
God gave you a brother who's not waiting for you. He gave you a brother who's not even thinking about you right now. Just because you and him come out of the same woman's hole, the only thing that means anything right now is that I'm here and he's not. Your brother left you to die. That's what people do.
Writer-director David Michaud creates an effectively brutal atmosphere in this minimalist story, and Pierce is fascinating to watch as the haunted, unforgiving main character. Pattinson goes a little overboard with his performance as a simple-minded follower, but overall The Rover is tense and involving. I give The Rover 4 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. The musical Mamma Mia seemed to have left Las Vegas forever when it closed at Mandalay Bay in 2009, but that is not the case, folks. This year, the production that has been woven together by the hits of ABBA is back. It returned to Las Vegas in May, setting up for an unlimited run at the renovated Tropicana Theater at the new Tropicana Hotel Casino. And joining us now are two of the principal characters in the show, Christine Sherrill, who plays the role of Donna Sheridan, and Sean Alan Krill, who plays one of Donna's three former love interests, Sam Carmichael. Welcome to Cats with the Dish, you two.
Thank you.
Sir.
Great performance. Trish and I saw it on the opening night.
Incredible.
Very,
you guys,
very,
wow.
just wonderful. And this is from people who have seen the show collectively probably 20 times.
As it just came to Smith Center last year,
that's
actually.
Right. It was the
Pershing
was here. And
so we were like, wow, you know, it's something about, we see so many Broadway shows close here. Hardly any shows have been a success here, except Mamma Mia. It's insane. Chicago, all of them. Never didn't make it far. Now Mamma Mia keeps coming back.
Avenue
we love
Q.
it.
Yeah. We've lost a lot of them. And Mamma Mia was one we thought had honestly played out at Mandalay Bay. And it returned first a touring show earlier this year. And then was the show that they put into the theater at the Tropicana, which they've invested a lot of money in and a lot of effort into making beautiful. Now, the first question for both of you is, how did you get into the cast for Las Vegas in the first place? How were you selected?
Well, I had done the show before. Mm-hmm. I did the show a couple years on the national tour,
right.
And I did it a year on Broadway. And when this came along, it was kind of out of the blue. They were so excited about it, and they called me and asked me if I'd like to be a part of it. And so here I am. I'm thrilled to be here. I had visited Vegas. I love it, and so I thought, Yeah, let's go to Vegas. It'll be great. And Christina and I actually did the show together on the tour.
Right, so Sean and I toured, and at that time I was playing the role of Tanya, so this has been a big mm-hmm. switch for me to...
The sluttier of the three.
Okay.
Now, is that
I've
weird?
I've seen the show a lot. I can tell you,
apparently
that
I've
woman
cleaned up my act.
Is a slut.
Yes.
That character is a slut.
She's my idol. What can I say? I wish
idol.
I could be more like her.
Happens to be a slut.
Now, is that hard switching? Because, I mean... You become so identified with the character. Is it hard to switch it up? I mean, because that's a huge role. The Tanya role is huge as well. So was that hard?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I thought that coming back into the project, it would be difficult to sort of disconnect myself from the relationship that Tanya and Rosie have. It would also sort of be difficult to find my place in the dynamos as Donna. And it really isn't, And I think that's what's so refreshing about this particular run is that this is a whole new cast. This is a whole new story. And I'm hoping that, when you guys make reference to how fresh the show felt and how exciting it felt, that's really mm-hmm. what it's about. We put together this cast that's really found the heart of this story, and this show feels fresh.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. the producers who have had the show for the entire time, Judy Kramer. It has a live band, has top-notch cast mm-hmm. all the way through, just as we remembered it at Mandalay Bay.
The band's incredible.
Yeah, it is. Everything's top shelf, and I think people were glad to hear that because it wasn't just a cutback or scaled-down version of Mamma Mia. It was the real thing. So mm-hmm. that was encouraging to a lot of people who live here because, they didn't come in with some other...
It's still two acts. It's the full show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing that I love about the show that a lot of people don't know, and it's one of my favorite parts, is I wish there was an actual backstage tour that you could take or there. It's a whole other show in itself that there mm-hmm. are five vocal booths backstage that the entire ensemble spends most of their time when they're not on stage in those booths singing along. So if it's just Christine on stage or if it's just me on stage
your backup
singing,
vocals are coming from
right
every song.
So
they
those
sing.
Are live background vocals?
Absolutely.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Wow.
Yeah, no, a lot of people don't know that.
I would assume that those would have been tracked. The background vocals would have been tracked. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's another exciting part about this is, even as someone who lives and works in the Chicago theater community, sometimes, we get scaled back shows coming through that Broadway and Chicago Playhouse. Or, you kind of get the third rung, the fourth tour. And those cuts start being made. So that was what was particularly exciting about this production was that there were not going to be any corners cut, that the music is vibrant and alive because of things like that, the vocal booths, the band. And
now, how has your adjustment been to living in Vegas? I mean, it's always a strange adjustment. When everybody moves here, they have a tendency to kind of just eat up the city for everything that it has, So is that difficult in having to do the show every night?
Well, I'll tell you the most difficult part, and if you knew me, you'd probably know, but I am speaking in probably about three octaves lower than I typically do today. My voice has been, struggling. I haven't missed a performance. She's stuck by my side, but it sure has been something that has been, I've really had to pay attention to it, the dryness and I'm used to singing in the humidity of the city of Chicago, and so it's really been an adjustment. But I did, I do have a family, and we moved out here from Chicago, and like a lot of people, I sort of had the vision of the Strip, and I thought to myself, I'm moving mm-hmm. my toddler to the Strip.
you have a wide ages in your family.
I do.
Let's tell us about this.
I put my 18-year-old twins on a plane.
18-year-old twins.
twins.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, you are no way old enough to have these two twins.
You're sweet,
and you are I feel definitely old could not have just had a toddler because you are a beanpole. You're
both,
so thin.
Both sides of this are well, they're lies. They're lies.
Yes.
You know, after you told me this at the party, I went around and asked about you. I said, "Is that woman?
Is she really? Does she lie
credible?
A lot? Or
is she pathologically? Is she even in the show? Is this the same person? Does she have? I really did my research. It turns out you're on the up and up.
Mm-hmm. See. So no, we moving out here, I've just been so pleasantly surprised, especially about the quality of life for my little one. Yeah. The parks and recreation programs and things like that. We live out in Henderson, mm-hmm. and we just couldn't be happier out here. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So far, so good.
So far,
right?
So good. Yes.
Right. We should actually explain what Mamma Mia is about for the like 9 people in Las Vegas who don't know what the plot is. This is Donna Sheridan, who's a woman who's a middle-aged woman, has a daughter who's getting married. She lives on a Greek island, and 3 of her former love interests are invited to the wedding by her daughter, who's trying to figure out who is her father because she snooped through her mother's diary.
Yes. And along comes
found out about all of
her 2 best friends who she used to be in a little bit of a rock
Donna's
band
friends.
With.
And Donna and the Dynamos
and Ale. So you've got the 3 friends, you've got the 3 possible daddies, and you've got a wedding.
Correct.
All taking place.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yes.
And that is the baseline of the plot. I mean, it seems simple enough. Maybe you both can answer this. Why does this show continue to survive, do you think, when others
I think first and foremost, there's this music. And you know, ABBA's, you know, appeal is just, quite literally worldwide. And, you know, they're up there with... In other countries, they are up there with, you know, these mega bands, the Beatles. People love this music. When I toured, I went into Mexico, I went into Canada. I never got to go overseas, but it's a phenomenon. This music, people love it, and I love it, so that appeal is just so universal, And the way that they've structured this story, there is truly something for everybody. People come and there, you know, there's this amazing mother-daughter story. There's this tight bond between these 3 women. There's what develops over time, the story between a father and a daughter, a possible daughter, you know, possible father.
Possible fathers.
and there's you know, a really great love story between... I think between Donna and Sam, it's a lost love, and I don't want to give anything away, but you know,
they all die in the end.
A lot goes down on the island.
There's a hurricane.
Oh,
and a
see, that's what I was trying not to say.
The new version.
Yeah,
there is a
don't
tsunami.
Have a wedding on a Greek island.
You know what is so You know what's so strange to me is that somehow, and I say this because I made the biggest mistake of my life with my family, and I had a family member who had never seen a Broadway musical, and I grew up going to Broadway. I grew up in Cleveland and Chicago, and went to school at Loyola and lived there for years. Yeah. And so I always would go to New York and go to Broadway shows, or they would go to Chicago before they go on to Broadway. And so I had the opportunity to take my family, including my brother-in-law, who had never seen a Broadway show, to any show. And I was torn between Mamma Mia, and all these people said, "You have to go to Saturday Night Fever." And I thought,
happened to you.
I thought, my brother-in-law loves the Bee Gees. He's friends with Barry, you know, and at the time the other brothers that were alive. And so I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take him to see this. The worst show on the planet made absolutely no sense. And sorry if you were ever in it. But I mean, there is literally a forcing of men upon a woman, and they're talking about it. A guy commits suicide, and they look at each other, and they go, "In the light." Or like, you know, there's a big fight. We shouldn't be fighting. Weeza should be dancing.
You know what I love about that? There's truth to that in Mamma Mia. That's what makes
sense.
Nothing is contrived.
Exactly. Like, how do you make a story fit with all those songs at the exact right spot? That's what's amazing.
A beautiful story that's so appealing to people. But what I love that's happening in the audience frequently, I love it, is that it was a bit jarring, actually, when we first started, because I would hear it coming from the audience, and now I absolutely love it. When a song starts within a scene, I can hear audience members gasp. Yeah. So, for example, when I start, "I don't want to talk," I hear people.
I think I was one of those people, like, even
they're waiting for the songs they love, and they're not anticipated. Nothing is contrived. I mean, they just weave in that story so perfectly, and it's, and I feel like people who love ABBA are sitting on the edges of their seats waiting for it to hear their songs, not knowing when they're going to happen, and it's kind of thrilling to hear them react.
Yeah, like clapping along and just really having a good time.
The songs actually make this, they actually tell the story, which is, it's not just kind of an added thing to it. Part of the story is told through the songs, which is, whoever wrote this show is brilliant to write it the way that it was.
Yes.
I mean, it's
Catherine Johnson.
Yeah, that's what I come out of, and this happened on opening night last month, is I get why it works, because it is so cleverly assembled. I think that's the thing that I always come out of there and I'm like, that was really clever, and it's always well performed, and it's different because of the different cast. But that the way that they've stitched together the lyrics and the writing and the songs themselves into an existing story somehow fits, and I think that's really important. It's like I compare it like to Grease, you know, that like that's I think why the longevity is and the appeal of the music is that the songs make sense in the context of the story.
But unlike Grease, they weren't written for the show. They were just,
right.
Which
exactly.
is why it's so strange.
Exactly.
Most musicals, the songs are written with the script, and it's totally different.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
But it does. It seems like the songs were written for you come out. You wouldn't, if you didn't know ABBA that well.
Good,
was,
good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
I'm interested, Sean, in when you went to Mexico with this show. Was that performed in Spanish?
No.
It was an English version.
Bailar Queen.
Yeah, I know.
That's a whole different area.
No, we performed. They had jumbotrons, and there were subtitles.
Okay.
But a lot of the songs were released in English in Mexico, so they know all of. But there were Spanish versions, and there were versions of these, like Dancing Queen was recorded in a million different languages.
Uh-huh.
They were recording outside their language anyway. So they would just do it in French. They'd do it in Spanish. And we went to Mexico. We did it all, the exact same show in English. And they just loved it.
What were the kinds of theaters you were playing? What kind of venues were you playing?
We that's why we had the jumbotrons. We were at the Auditorio Nacional in Mexico City.
Wow, is that like where they do soccer and stuff?
It was, I don't even know. It was this amphitheater. It was enormous. It was so huge.
It's the Mamma Mia pop.
Yeah, we had these two huge jumbotrons on the side of the stage so that they could see our faces.
Oh my
because
gosh.
It was so big.
Now, how do you keep it fresh? Doing this, you know, the same material every night. Some people might have a hard time, you know, that letting it kind of just phone it in type of thing. How do you keep it fresh every night?
Well, I think particularly here in Vegas, what's happening is, you know, we were kind of given the heads up in rehearsals. Just so you know, the space that you'll be performing in, those VIP booths and tables will be really close to the stage. You'll really be connected with your audience.
Yeah.
We were sort of warned about that. But here, it's really worked out in our favor because we can feel that energy coming. I mean, people are up on their feet before this show is over, or people are weeping. I mean, that's sort of the beautiful thing about this particular production too, is that I think it has been cast so brilliantly that we all are really sharing this story. We kind of have a common heart and we've all bonded really well. And, between that and the audience, I mean, being able to just see them react, and we can hear all the way from the back of the house, people cheering and getting up on their feet and just clapping. And I mean, in the middle of the show, and for us, if you're a Broadway performer, that is not something that is typical. I mean, people do not typically jump to their feet as much as you'd love. I mean, you've had dreams like that, but people don't commonly jump to their feet and start clapping for you. So the audiences out here are really electric and they're really enjoying it. And I think that is really fueling the excitement in the show. It's keeping us going.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
What is your demographic? I know now Mamma Mia has been around long enough to have had, you know, a multi-generational fan appeal. Apart from just the ABBA appeal, now the show itself has got some longevity. What have the crowds been like at the Tropicana?
Commonly, groups of women come, large groups of friends come and have a great time or whatever. But what we're noticing here, a lot of couples and then children. We're seeing
lots of
families down in that front section, sweet little kids just staring up on stage. I mean, and that's the draw of the music.
Well, and I think the movie kept coming out sort of, you know, brought in a whole new generation of fans of, you know, the show has produced an entire new generation of ABBA fans, uh-huh. I think. Which yeah. is wonderful.
And it's nice that actually the songs are sung by you with your wonderful voice, as opposed to Pierce Brosnan, who had a little bit of difficulty in the movie.
No comment.
A little bit of difficulty.
I'm being kind. So it was nice to actually have, strong Sam there with an incredible voice.
Let's talk about the movie. I mean, and this is coming up with Jersey Boys, too. Jersey Boys has been released by the time this airs. And Rock of Ages has noticed if the movie doesn't do great, it doesn't do anything for the box office. Mm-hmm. It being in the show, did the movie have any boost in ticket sales and in response to the stage show at all?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I know that it was one of the best-selling movie musicals of all time. It continues to be. And I mean, I can only imagine that it helped. I don't really know. I just walk on stage and sing.
I think I walked out into the hallway, there actually a mom and her four little girls all wearing these pink boas. And she said they cannot wait to go home and get the movie. We're going to get the movie and watch it over and over and over again. So hopefully we're doing a little revenue for them in return.
There you go. So
it works
no
the other way.
Well,
yeah, maybe
it no is the other way will around. The kids be singing Let It Go. They'll be singing.
Yes. Watch out, yes, Frozen.
Exactly. Watch
There's
out.
There's a new girl in town.
Exactly.
As you both have mentioned, you've been in other, obviously, a lot of other productions. Aside from the roles you're playing now, what are some of your, or one of your favorite roles that is not Mamma Mia?
Oh, wow. Well, quite on the other end of the spectrum, just before I left Chicago, I played Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard.
Oh my gosh, one of my favorite plays.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So it was a challenge. And
I can't look at you the same way now.
I know. What do you mean?
Did you have to do those stairs every night? Did you have to do
those?
Oh my
gosh. The turban and the sunglasses.
Oh, those stairs. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know how anyone could sing after those stairs. Wow.
But that's definitely.
Well, and actually one of my favorite shows I've ever been in was when I met Christine, which was 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and we did Into the Woods together up in the woods in Wisconsin at Peninsula Players, which was one of the dreamiest jobs you could ever have. She played the witch, and I played Cinderella's prince and the wolf, and that was just a really, really fantastic production. I mm-hmm. loved playing that part. I just played last summer. I went to La Jolla Playhouse and did a stage version of Sideways.
Really?
Rex Pickett's,
I love that
movie.
I like it.
And I got
a lot.
To play Jack, the friend who is getting married.
He also
married.
Got to drink a lot
He's
of wine.
He's getting married.
Not
to mention
a lot. Yeah.
So you're a method actor.
That was one of my favorite things I've ever done. I really enjoyed it.
I'd love to see that come to the center.
We're hoping that
That'd
it has
really
a
cool.
life. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you guys had a chance to see any other productions in town yet? Anything? I know you're
Not
busy.
Really. We've been,
you've been very
hammering
busy. It down.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
trying to, well, we're relocating too, so we've been trying to find where we live and how we drive around in cars.
He's speaking like a true New Yorker
yeah,
right now.
Right,
like,
exactly.
How to take a car somewhere.
Yeah, how to drive a car.
Exactly.
How to drive.
Darn, I have to get my license now. What?
How to drive this thing 60
yeah,
miles
yeah,
an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What do you mean I can't
strange
walk?
Contraption. Yeah.
There's no subway that
yeah,
goes
where
to
are the
trop,
subway
I can
entrances? I can't find them anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, That's we hilarious. Have to say that, I mean, seriously, it is from the start to finish. It is so entertaining. The time goes by so fast. I mean, intermission came and I was like, what?
And it has an intermission.
Yeah. And it was like, I mean, I was shocked at how fast it went. The pacing of it. Because normally, Vegas audiences, everybody at an hour mark is like, okay, where's the tables? Mm. And it's like, and it went by so fast because it was just so entertaining. And your entire cast is incredible. You guys are incredible.
Thank
we
you.
Welcome you to Vegas. And we hope that you have years and years and years to come.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
With that, we'll just say thanks for coming down. We'll have you on again. Christine Sherrill as Donna Sheridan and Sean Allen Krill as Sam Carmichael. Terrific performers in a great return to the stage of Mamma Mia at Tropicana. Thanks for coming by, you two.
Thanks,
Thank
John.
You.